Today's daf is Erevin daf Ayin Beis. We're going to continue the discussion from yesterday. We left off three lines from the bottom of the page in daf Ayin Aleph and Beis yesterday. So first we're going to finish the discussion. We had a brisa with a machlokas tana, machlokas or meir lechamim, whether you can use the same item for an Erev Chatzeros and a sheet of Mavuos, meaning do you need to make both an Erev Chatzeros to allow carrying from one chatzer to another and a Shitupe Mavuos to allow carrying in the Mavui. And then the Mishnah, that's topic number one we're going to discuss. Then the Mishnah and Ayin Beis Amud Aleph is going to bring us to a new topic. When you have multiple groups living in the same building, do they all need to join the Erev separately, or can they join an Erev as a single unit because they all happen to live in the same building? There are going to be four different ways the Gemara has of understanding the Machlokas in that Mishnah, and we're going to try to see how we paskin. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to open up a new discussion of whether people who sleep in one house and eat in another house are considered to be living in the house that they sleep in, or are they considered to be living in the house that they eat in, legabe the halachos of Erev. So let's pick up again. We left off with this brisa yesterday, where the brisa had a statement and then a machlokas. The statement was the kinds of food necessary to make an Erev and a shituv is that for an Erev chatzeros, you have to use bread. Wine is no good. For a shituv a mavuos, you could use wine, but also you could use bread. That's perfectly fine. Then we had a machlokas. Ma'arvin b'chatzeros u'mishtat b'mavoi shalol shakeach toras erev min atinoko shiyom rav asinu l'irvu div Rameir. Rameir held that both an erev chatzeros and a shitufei mavuos is necessary. You can't just rely on a shitufei mavuos. If you want to carry from one chatzer to the other, you need both an erev chatzeros and a shitufei mavuos. And the Chum say one or the other. You don't need to have both. That if you have a shitufei mavuos alone, that would certainly suffice. One or the other would suffice. You don't need to have both. So says the Gemara, let's frame this machlokas. So pligiba Rabbi Nechume v'Rabba. Rabbi Nechume and Rabba, two opinions. What's the exact case where this machlokas Rameir and Lechamim applies? Chadam or bepas to kuliyam lo pligi de b'chadus agi. One opinion says that if you use bread for your shetufa mevuos, then everyone would agree you don't need a separate eruv. If you use bread for shetufa mevuos, so then the bread would be good for the eruv as well. Ki pligi, because after all, bread, we said at the beginning of the Braisa, is good for everything. Ki pligi bi yayin. They argue if you use yayin. So is that going to suffice? We use yayin for your shetufa mevuos, which is fine to use for your shetufa mevuos, but typically you're not allowed to use yayin for an eruv chatzeros. So can you rely on the yayin that you use for the shetufa mevuos to count for your eruv chatzeros as well? Now this lashon is very difficult. Why would you say yes? Why would you be able to count it? You can't use yayin. Even if you designated a separate eruv chatzeros made out of yayin, it wouldn't be good. So why is the yayin used for shituve mavuos? Why are you allowed to rely on that for an eruv chatzeros? So Rashi points out on the bottom, ki pligi b'yayin kishen ishtatfu b'yayin b'mavui, to the Rav Meir lo samchina le be'eruvei chatzeros, dein marvin chatzeros b'yayin. Rav Meir's shita is very understandable, that it absolutely cannot be relied upon, because you can never use yayin to begin with for an eruv chatzeros. And what about the Rabbanan? Ul Rabbanan shari, v'yafal gav di yayin b'chatzer lo chazi, even though yayin isn't good for an eruv chatzeros, Migo de chazi lemilse b'shituv samchina le b'chatzer. Since this yayin, so we apply a migo that since this yayin is being relied upon for the shitufei mavuos, so we're allowed to rely upon it as well for an eruv chatzeros. That once it's in use and it's functioning, so then we're allowed to use it for the eruv chatzeros as well. Probably this relates to the to the idea that that the whole need for the Erev Chatzeros over here is only Shalol Shakeach, that it's not really the Ikar Adin of Erev Chatzeros to begin with. So since it's only Shalol Shakeach, so once it's being used for the Shtufim Avos, it's good enough. So that's the Mahol Machlok is only Dafka by Yayin. The Chad Omer, the other way of understanding the Machlok is no, the opposite, that by Yayin do Kliyam Lopligi to be an entirety. That if you're going to use Yayin, then everyone would agree that cannot be relied upon for the Erev Chatzeros as well. Yayin is good for a shitufei mavuos, it is not good for an erev chatzeros, and therefore you cannot rely on that. You're going to need a separate erev chatzeros according to everybody. Ki pligi bepas, the whole machlokas is only if you use bread. If you use bread, so then they argue whether you need to make a separate shituf, where Rameir would say yes, you need to make a separate erev. Where Rameir would say you do need to make a separate erev, the Chum would say you don't need to make a separate erev. The Ha'on Yaakov explains that the Chachamim hold that since bread is ra'oi for an Eruv, so they, again, keep in mind, the whole point of this Eruv is Shalol L'Shakeach Toras Eruvin Min HaTinokos, so that the children will remember that there's such a concept of Eruv. So since the bread is ra'oi even for an Eruv, the Tinokos are going to know that the bread is there both L'Shem the Shitov and L'Shem the Eruv, because it's the type of food that could be used for both. And Rav Meir would say, no, because you still have the concern, Shalol L'Shakeach. The children still might forget, because they're going to see that you brought bread L'Shem the Shitov, but that's all you got. You only have one thing, and there's only one unit of food. So how are they going to know that that bread is used both for a Shituf and Erev Chatzeres? They're not going to know that it's used for the Erev as well. They're only going to know that it's used for the Shituf. So he said, the Gaon Yaakov just points out that it's Mestavit to say, according to this Lashon, that a Shituf Shalpas doesn't help. He says, She'ein Shituf Shalpas Mol B'makom Erev Ela K'shemunach B'bayis, that using the Shituf of Pas is only going to work if you actually place it in a house. But if you leave it in the Chatzer, then it's certainly not going to work in place of an Eruv. Then you would certainly need another Eruv, because an Eruv can't be placed in the Chatzar. The Eruv needs to be placed within a bias inside of a Chatzar. So we don't say that since it works for the Shitov, it works also for the Eruv, because the Chum Ramoda, according to this Lashon, there is no Migo. The Chum Ramoda, according to this Lashon, that a Shitov Yayin does not help the Makom Eruv. They don't apply the whole din of Migo. The whole Svar of the Chacham is that the children are going to realize that, oh yeah, the bread must be used both for an Eruv and for a Shituf. That works great if it's in a place that works for an Eruv, in a bias, but if it's in a Chatzar, so that's not where an Eruv wouldn't work in a Chatzar anyway. So the children are never going to think that that's being used as an Eruv. So that's the Gaon Yaakov Sa'ara, that the concept of the Migo doesn't hold true according to the second way of understanding the Machlokas, and therefore that you would have to put, even according to the Chum, you would have to put the Shituf in a bias rather than just in the chatzer that's in one of the chatzeros. So it says Gemara Meisve the Chum Mamrim Oma Arvin Oma Shtatvin. The Chum say you could do one or the other. My love Oma Arvin bechatzer bepas Oma Shtatvin b'mavu b'yayin. Doesn't that imply that you could do one or the other? Meaning that if you want to make an erev in an erev chatzeros with bread, or you could choose to make a shitufa mavuos with yayin, and you could rely on either one of those things alone. So don't you see that that even b'yayin the chachamim are going to agree? It's a kasha on the second version of our discussion, where we said that b'yayin everyone agrees you need tarti, that even the chum would agree that you need both. No, you see over here that if you did a shituf with yayin, that would be good enough. So Rav Gidol Amrav na hachi kamar. Oma Arvin Bechatzer Bepas Umutar and Kan Vekan. You have the option of making Nerev Chatzeros with bread, and that will therefore be matter everything. Oma Shtatvin Bemavi Bepas Umutar and Kan Vekan. Or you can make Shitufei Mavuos with bread, not with yayin. If you were to choose to use yayin for a shituvei mavuos, then you cannot rely on that for your erev chatzeros. All they said is Oma Arvin Omishtatvin. They didn't say what you're using. So it doesn't mean with yayin, it means with bread. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Rav Halacha K'Rav Meir. So Rav Yehuda Amr Rav says we paskin like Rav Meir. Rav Huna Amar Mina K'Rav Meir. Rav Huna says Mina K'Rav Meir. Rav Yochanan Amar Nagua Am K'Rav Meir. That Nagua Am K'Rav Meir. So we already had these three lashonos earlier in terms of what the difference is between what it means to say Halacha versus Minag or versus Nagua Ha'am. Halacha means that we paskin this way L'Chadchila, that we would tell people to do this, that we would tell people that you can say like Rav Meir, that we should say like Rav Meir, that you need an Eruv and a Shituvei Mavuos, meaning to paskin the Chumra like Rav Meir. The second is Minag K'Rabbi Meir, that Yechidim who come and ask a Shaila, we could be Moru Ba like Rabbi Meir, but we wouldn't paskin it publicly. And third is that we wouldn't even paskin it for Yechidim, but Nagoam, but if people do it, we're not going to be Mocha B'yadim, we're not going to start yelling at them for paskin like Rav Meir. So a very fundamental question. Normally when we have such a machlokas about to what extent we paskin like somebody. So normally we're talking about paskining like a kula. So we're going to say, are you going to go lakula? Well, one opinion will say, yeah, sure, we'll go lakula, we'll even paskin it publicly. Others, I don't know if we should paskin it publicly on a case-by-case basis, maybe we'll go lakula. And then the third approach, that maybe we'll go lakula in the sense that we're not going to yell at people who go lakula. Over here, Rav Meir is a chumra. So what's our problem? Meaning, so someone wants to be machmir like Rav Meir, so, hey, let him make a narrative, let him make a shittuf. What does it cost us anything? If they make a narrative, make a shittuf. So the Rishonim are bothered by this kasha. Tosfos bothered by this kasha has a few approaches to understand why would we be mocha biyado if someone wants to paskin like Rav Meir. So Tosfos quotes, some of the Rishonim suggest that ein mocha biyado is that even though they make a separate eruv when it's unnecessary, so what do you do when you make an eruv? It's not just a box of matzahs, you make a bracha. It involves a birchas mitzvah. So it's a bracha levatala. If it's not really required and they choose to be machmir to make an eruv when they already have a shittuf, so they're making a bracha. So that's the issue that we're saying we're willing to tolerate it even though they're making what seems to be a bracha levatala. Another possibility is that even if because of their chumra, they decide to not rely. Let's say they hold you need to make an eruv to carry from chatzar to chatzar, and therefore, when there's a mila in one chatzar and there's the sakin or mayim chamim in another chatzar, and they need to bring it from one to the other, they're gonna not do it, and they're gonna be docha the mila if they don't have an eruv. Meaning, their machmir doesn't just mean that they would make an eruv; it means that if they would forget to make an eruv, they wouldn't carry from chatzar to chatzar, even b'makom mitzvah, even when there's something to do that's a mitzvah need. So that we're willing to tolerate. We're willing to tolerate such a chumrah that they're not going to carry, even though the chumrah comes with a kula, comes with cutting corners in another halacha, giving up or delaying some sort of mitzvah. That's instructive for chumras in general. A lot of times you have to be very careful. It's not always okay to say we'll just be machmir. That it's not always safe to just be machmir and everything. With many chumras, there are kula. There's a balancing kula on the other side. So a person has to be careful when taking chumras that A, they be appropriate chumras, but also that the chumra not be something that causes a kula in another area of halacha. Then another approach that several Rishonim suggest is ein mochen biadam, even when they come to be meikel like Reb Meir. What does it mean they come to be meikel like Reb Meir? What if you have a case where you have a chatzer in between two mavuos, where the people from that chatzer normally travel through one of those mavuos, and each mavui made their own separate sheet of mavuos, but the chatzar didn't join in with either of their shitupe mavuos. So mavui, chatzar, mavui, each mavui took care of themselves. The chatzar was involved in neither one of them, but the chatzar normally goes out through mavui A, doesn't normally travel through mavui B. The people of the chatzar normally don't travel through mavui B. So the chatzar is going to cause a problem for mavui A that it normally travels through, where it normally it's because it's considered to be a chelek of that mavui, since that's where it normally goes, and it didn't join in their shituf. But if that mavui that they're ragil to travel through made its own shituf, and the second mavui did not make a shituf mavuos, if mavui A made their own shituf mavuos, mavui B did not make their own shituf mavuos, then we're going to tell the bnei achatzer, you know what? For this Shabbos, your traveling path is through Mavoi B. Because why should you cause problems? Mavoi B anyway can't carry because they never made a Shittuf Mavuos. Mavoi A did. Why would you ruin life for them? Why would you ruin the ability to carry for them over Shabbos? Why should you have to be considered like a member of that Mavoi? But if the second Mavoi is Asur Mele Betiltel, so then what would just be considered as part of that second mavui, they're also mela, so you'll be part of them. You're not going to make life any worse for them. Let's say the mavui that they don't normally walk through made an eruv but didn't make a shituf. So according to the Chachamim, they could be samech on the eruv, makom shituf. They're allowed to be metaltel, and the mavi that the chatzar is normal to walk through would therefore become aser, because this chatzar didn't join in their shituf. And we can't force the bnei chatzar to belong to mavi B, because mavi B is perfectly good. But according to Rabbi Meir, mavi B is not perfectly good. The bnei mavi could tell the chatzar, the bnei mavi of that the chatzar, of Mavoi A that the Chatzar normally walks through can tell the Chatzar, you know what, you go into Mavoi B this Shabbos, because Mavoi B made an Erev, they didn't make a Shituf anyway, so anyway it's also to be Metaltel. So Rabbi Yochanan is telling us, someone wants to hold like Reb Meir and be Mekel to do what? To force the Bnei Chatzar to be Mavir Derech Mavoi She'ena Regilabo, to belong to Mavoi B for the sake of this Shabbos, that this Mavoi B that made an Erev and didn't make a Shituf, Ein Mochem B'Yadam. That's the Kula of Ein Mochem B'Yadam. So it's like a big ukimta to make into the case of where you can have an Ein Mochem B'Yadam. But these are three basic approaches. There are more approaches as well. Now, it seems that based on the Rishonim, on Tosos and other Rishonim that we said before, someone who's machmir like Reb Meir to make an Erev and a Shituf and makes two brachos, Ein Limchos B'Yada. We don't yell at them, even according to the approach that least enthusiastically endorses Rabbi Meir's Shita, still we're not going to get upset at somebody, Ein Mochem B'Yadam, if they decide to make two brachas. So why not? So the Beis Yosef in Aruch Chaim Sim Shin Pei Zayin quotes from the Tshuvas Ashkenazios that since a Shituf alone is enough, someone who's machmir to make an Erev and makes a bracha, Berchasel Levatale, he says, yeah, of course we'd be mochen that case. If he's actually going to make a bracha, that's not what the Gemara is talking about, then certainly the bracha would be a bracha levatala. So why, what about the Balei Atosos who say that we're not worried about the bracha levatala, we're not going to scream at them, we think it's okay that they're making this bracha, we're not going to get upset about it. So what's the svara? So the Zeri Yaakov explains that since the Yisra Bracha Shein Etzricha is only Nisid Rabbanan, so someone wants to be Somech on Shitas Rabbi Meir, Legabe, Adin Rabbanan, make a bracha. So the Bracha Shein Etzricha, it's only an Yisra Drabbanan, we're going to tolerate that, we're going to allow for that. And therefore, he says, when it comes to any Yisra Drabbanan, that you have a Rabbim against the Yachid, and the Tzibur is Noeg to be Matir Kedas HaYachid, so we're not going to be Mocha B'Yadam, because they Yesh Al Milismoch. They have who to rely on, even though it's a Das Yachid, so we're not going to get upset about it. However, the Chazanish, and Simon Sadi, and Archaim says, Dafka, if they're always Noeg like Reb Meir, B'Kol Chumrosa V'Kulosav, then they're allowed to be Machmir, to make a Shituf and an Erev, and to make two separate brachos, and it's not a bracha levatala. But someone who's sometimes make like the Rabbanan is not allowed to be Machmir like Rabbi Meir and go and make a bracha to follow the Chumra of Rabbi Meir if they don't generally follow Rabbi Meir. So that would be considered a bracha levatala. So we're always knowing like the Chamim, we should not make two brachos because that would be considered a bracha levatala. Good, so at the end of the day, we have this machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim, and it sounds that Rav Yehuda Merav says we actually pass like Rav Meir, Rav Huna much less enthusiastically, and Rav Yochanan really doesn't pass like Rav Meir, but is willing to tolerate those who want to rely on Rav Meir. So Rav Yochanan, at the end of the day, is really passing like the Chachamim. So the Rashba is bothered by that. Why would Rav Yochanan pass like the Chachamim? Rav Yochanan holds on Daf Tzadi Beis, we're going to see in a few weeks, that Alachas Kstam Mishnah, and we're going to have a Stam Mishnah on tomorrow's daf with that says that assumes like Rav Meir that if you have five chatzeros psuchos mizulazu and they make an erev and they don't make a shituf, you're allowed to be metaltal b'chatzeros, but you're also in the mavoi. And the Gemara explains that the Mishnah assumes like Rav Meir that you don't rely on an erev b'makom shituf, that you need both. So if we have a Stam Mishnah in tomorrow's daf like Rav Meir, and we know Rabbi Yochanan always paskins like a Stam Mishnah, why over here does Rabbi Yochanan paskin like the Chachamim against Rabbi Meir? That's the Rashba's Kasha. So the Rashba says, maybe Rabbi Yochanan has a different version of that Mishnah later on, that the Chatzeros Psucha Zulazu, maybe he understands it like Rav, that he's not Gores Psucha Zulazu, and the Chatzeros don't make an Eruv with each other, where even the Chamim are going to be molded, that it's also to be Metaltal and the Mavoi, meaning he'll understand that the Mishnah later on is not Dafka going, according to Reb Meir. The Ritva, however, suggests that Rabbi Yochanan has the later Mishnah, again, a different text in the later Mishnah, where it's not a Stam Mishnah, where the Mishnah specifically says that it's Rabbi Meir, or that it's Rabbi Lozman Todai, like and because of that, it's no longer a Stam Mishnah, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is not going to pass like that, even though Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir in general, but when Rabbi makes it a Stam, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi makes it a Stam, the reason Rabbi Yochanan generally passes like a Stam Mishnah, is if Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote it as a Stam, he's trying to tell us this is how we should pass him, that this is the basic approach, the general approach. So that's generally the way a Stam, why, what would motivate a person to pass him like a Stam Mishnah. But if you have a girsa that mentions Rabbi Meir by name, that's Rabbi Yudah Anasi trying to tell us that this is a Das Yachid and that we should not necessarily pass like him if it mentions Rabbi Meir by name. So the Rashba, the Rabbi Yochanan must have held that that Mishnah mentions Rabbi Meir by name and not just that the Gemara figures out that it's going like Rameir, but really it's Stab Mishnah. So halacha lemaisa. Now we have three shitos at the end of the day. So halacha, what are we paskin to do? So the Ravid paskin, and not just three shitos. We have two lishonos of what the machlokas is about. Even the machlokas from Meir and the Rabban was about. Was it about when they made a shita of pepas? Was it about when they made a shita of biyayin? So how do we paskin? So several different shitos in Rishonim. The Ravid paskin is lahachmir like the second lashon that everyone would agree you were not so mech on a sheet of Yayin b'makom eruv, and the Chamra Meir argue by pas, and we paskin like Rabbi Meir that you don't rely on ne'eruv or on a sheet of even b'pas. Meaning, of all the four possibilities, you have Yayin pas. Rameir Chachamim, so Rameir is the more Machmir Shita, he would say that even when it comes to Pas, we're still going to be Machmir, not rely on a Shita in Pas, we're going to be Machmir in all situations. The Balam Or Paskins like the first Deya, that by Pas everyone agrees that it's Mutter to have one or the other, because Halachik Divrei Mekel Be'eruv. The Rambam says, we're so mech on a pas, the Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Eruvin says we're so mech on a sheet of pas, and we don't need to make a separate eruv. But if you use yayin, then you do need to make a separate eruv. So all the mefarshei Rambam explain that the Rambam paskins like Rameir according to the first lashon that Rameir is moda that we're so mech on a sheet of shalpas makom eruv. So that's why the Rambam says, yeah, if he made it out of bread, that's fine, but not with yayin. Why not with yayin? Because we paskin like Rameir, and they argue in a case of yayin. However, the Rambam himself adds that if they did a shituf with yayin and they forgot to make an erev chatzeros b'shas hadchak, they could be metaltal in the chatzeros on the first Shabbos that they have such a thing. If they're not makbid on their portion of the eruv, but for, as a one time deal, he says they could be somich b'di'eved in that kind of situation. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says the minhag ha'olam is that what do? We take separate eruv chatzeros and shitufei mavuos? So typically we don't. The Ramah points out in Siman Shin Samach Vav and Siman Shin Pei Zayin that normally they take a kemach or matzah for a shituf, they put it in the shul and they rely on that for the erev as well. And we don't make separate eruvei chatzeros and shitufei mavuos, we make one big thing. And that was the minhag ha'kadmonim, he says. So the Achronim explained the reason is because we hold that if you use pas, that's good enough. As long as you're using bread, everyone agrees. If you use bread, you don't need. So we use matzahs, and therefore it's perfectly good. But the Ramah adds another yishuv for the minog. He says, even if you hold that a shituf does not work with makom eruv to be carried from the bottom to the chatzar, where the chatzar doesn't have its own eruv, where all you have is a shituf, and our minog is that we do rely on it. He says, even if you were told, even with pas, that it's not good enough, maybe it's different over here. Maybe the Gemara's whole discussion over here that of not relying on a shituf of makom eruv is only bizman nehem, where they were knowing to make the eruv chatzar first, and then one representative from each chatzer would contribute a little bit toward the community-wide shitufei mavuos. So he says, since only one representative from each chatzer is participating in the shitufei mavuos, that's why it's no good to only have the shitufei mavuos, because you only have one representative from each chatzer participating. That was their minhag. But says the Rama, maybe since our minhag is that everybody participates in the shitufei mavuos, well, that's just as good as making an Eruv and a Shituf, since everybody's participating. Levush isn't so excited about that Ramah, but that's how the Ramah paskins. Okay, next discussion. Says the Mishnah, Chamisha Chaburu Sheshafsu B'Traklin Echad. If you have five groups of people that live in one traklin, one large building, and it has dividers, so the rooms are divided from each other, each group lives in their own room. Beishamei Omrim Eruv L'Kol Chaburu V'Chaburu. So Beishamei says each group needs to participate in the Eruv independently. says, no, one Erev is good enough for everybody. But even Beis Hillel would agree that if they live in separate rooms, that everyone's going to need to join the Erev separately. So obviously we're going to have to define what's the difference between living in a traklin where they're divided versus living in separate rooms. What's the difference? So there are going to be four ways the Gemara is going to have to understand how large a divider separates the families living in the Machlokas case in the Mishnah, meaning the part where Beis Hillel thinks they need to join the Erev independently. In the end of the Mishnah, everyone agreed, right? Even Beis Hillel's mode, if they're totally separate rooms, then for sure they join the Erev separately. So if you have an apartment building where everyone lives in their own apartment, of course they join the Erev separately. Each one independently has to join the Erev. But what do we call the situation? What's the first case of the Mishnah where Beis Hillel says, nah, it's good enough that Eruv Echad Lekulam, that they can all join together. So there are four approaches in the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, approach number one, Machlokas b'mesipas, aval b'mechitza asar divra kol Erev l'kol chabura v'chabura. If you have some tiny little wall that divides them, that's not even 10 tefachim high, that's where you have Machlokas b'sham b'sil, that's where b'sil is going to say that they can still join, that they're all joined together as one unit, and they do not have to join the Erev independent of each other, they're all one single group. But as soon as you have a mechitza that's as much as 10 tefachim high, the height of this table that divides the different rooms, that's all you need in order to consider the families or the groups divided from each other. It doesn't need to be their own separate apartments. Ikada Amri, second possible understanding, Amr of Nachman, af b'mesipas machlokas, that even the machlokas is both when separated by a tentafach wall and when separated by a small divider, meaning even when you're separated by a very tiny divider, Beis Shammai would still say Erev l'kol chabura v'chabura, but meaning that, like the first lashon, that the machlokas b'mesipas, but the machlokas is also when the dividers tend to tzvachim high. What this lashon does not explain to us is, so when do they agree? Meaning, at what point does even Beis Hillel say, okay, now the families are really divided from each other, they're really separated from each other? Because all this lashon told us is that even when it's more, that both when it's more than 10 tefachim high and when it's less than 10 tefachim high, we have a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel whether the families are considered to be divided from each other. So what's the case where even Beis Hillel agrees that they're not divided from each other? The second lashon doesn't tell us, and the Gemara is going to come back to that point, that it never tells us where we would draw the line on the other end. So the third lashon, pligi b'Rav Chiya b'Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Chad Omar, this is lashon number three, third possible understanding, machlokas b'mechitzos hamagiyos l'tikra. The whole machlokas is when the mechitzos reach all the way to the ceiling. Avo mechitzos shein magiyos l'tikra, divrei akol erev echad l'kulan. When the mechitzos don't reach all the way to the ceiling, then everyone would agree, even the Beis Shammai would say that they could all join together in a single Erev. But if the mechitzos reach the ceiling, that's where the Beis Hillel holds that they're going to that it's Erev Echad L'Kulan, and the Beis Shammai holds that it's not Erev Echad L'Kulan. So again, the question you have to ask yourself is, so what's the case where Beis Hillel holds that they are separated? If even when the mechitzos reach all the way to the ceiling, Beis Hillel is going to say that they're all still considered one unit because they live in the same building, so what's the case where they're separated? Okay, but that's the third approach. Fourth approach, v'chad amar, machlokas b'mechitzos she'in magil satikra. The machlokas is when the walls don't reach the roof. Aval mechitzos ha'magil satikra divrei akol, shrich ha'neirav l'kol chabura v'chabura. This approach makes it very clear what the Mishnah is talking about. First half of the Mishnah is walls that come somewhat short of the ceiling. Doesn't matter how short, they don't quite reach the ceiling. As long as they don't quite reach the ceiling, Beis Shammai would say that each chabura is still considered separate from each other. Beis Hillel would say, no, if they don't reach the ceiling, they're one unit. But if they reach the ceiling, then that's what Beis Hillel is talking about in the Seifa of the Mishnah, that even Beis Hillel's moda, that if they reach all the way to the ceiling, then they're definitely considered separate units. You need an Eruv, Lekal Echad, the Echad. That's the fourth lashon. So Meisvei, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Hasabar. Rabbi Yehuda Hasabar says, Lo nechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al mechitzos hamagiyos l'tikra, shetzrich ha'neirav l'kol chabura v'chabura. That Rabbi Yehuda Hasabar said that when the mechitzos reach all the way to the ceiling, Everyone would agree, Beisham and Beisil would both agree, you need, the families are considered separated from each other, the groups are separate from each other, you would need a separate Eruv for each group. Alma nechluku, where is there a machlokas al machitzos, she'ein magiyos l'tikra, when the walls don't quite reach the ceiling. She'Beisham yom merv l'kol chabur v'chabura, u'Beisil yom merv echad l'kulan. Beisham would say each group is still considered a separate group even though the walls don't reach the ceiling, and Beisil would say, no, it's still considered one big group even though the walls don't reach the ceiling. So now the Gemara is going to analyze. This Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, we just had four approaches to how to understand the Mishnah. Which of those approaches does Rabbi Yehuda Sabar fit in with? First of all, what does Sabar mean? Hasabar, it's an unusual title to give a person. So Rashi says on top, Al Shem Churfe Kari Lehachi, because he was very sharp. So they called him Hasabar. They called him by this name. Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel that the Girsa Shinapi Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, he says, Rabbeinu Chananel Garas Hasabach. Meaning, he was apparently he was someone who wove things together. So it's a lashon for that describes it. It's like Rabbi Yochanan a sandler. It's a profession. It describes his profession. It's not his uniqueness in Torah learning. Or it could be that the Rabbi Yaakov Emden pointed out, why does Rabbi Chananel not like Rashi's pshat? What's wrong with saying sabar? He knew how to be masbir things. He was very sharp. Because we don't find anyone else with that title in all of Shas. Normally, if you have something that, and there are plenty of Tanaim who are very sharp and very smart. So if no one else got to earn that nickname, so probably it doesn't relate to his Chachma in Torah. Probably relates to something else. So he was known as Rabbi Yehuda Sabar or Hasabach according to Tosfos. But what he said is that when the walls reach the ceiling, everyone agrees the groups are divided from each other. When they don't reach the ceiling, that's where we have a machlokas. So which lashon does that fit into? So the Gemara is going to go through one by one. Lamandi Amar b'mechitzos hamagiyos l'tikra machlokas. According to the third lashon, that the machlokas is when the walls reach the ceiling. So tiyufta, that definitely is not like Rabbi Yehuda Sabar, because Rabbi Yehuda Sabar holds when the walls reach the ceiling, everyone agrees they are divided from each other. Ulamandi Amar b'mechitzos she'ein magiyos l'tikra machlokas. According to the fourth lashon, the fourth way of understanding that the whole machlokas is only when the walls don't reach the ceiling. Siyata. Well, that's perfect. Perfect. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Sabar said. The whole machlokas in the walls don't reach the ceiling. Now let's go to the first two lashonos. L'hach lishna d'omer Rav Nachman machlokas b'mesipas tiyufta. If you say that the machlokas is only when the divider is very low, it's under 10 tefachim, well, that's definitely against Rabbi Yehuda Sabar. Rabbi Yehuda Sabar holds the machlokas is mechitzos hamagiyos l'tikra. So that's not a very low divider, so that's definitely against Rabbi Yehuda Sabar. What about the second lashon? L'hach lishna d'omer Rav Nachman af b'mesipas machlokas, so le'matavi tiyufta. What about Rav Nachman, the version of Rav Nachman that said that the machlokas is even when it's a very low divider? So that implied that the machlokas is when it's a high divider also. So what do we have? Rabbi Yehuda Sabar said that machlokas b'sham b'sol is by mechitzos magios l'tikra. So is that a tiyufta necessarily? Is the Mishnah tiyufta for Rabbi Yehuda Sabar? So amalach Rav Nachman pligi b'mechitza v'uadin b'mesipas. Maybe the machlokas, that lashon would say, they argue both in the case of mechitza and in the case of mesipas. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Sabar himself said Rabbi Yehuda Sabar himself said that they don't argue when it's Megillas L'Tikra. They only argue when it's less than Megillas L'Tikra. So that might fit, because it might fit with this Lashon, because this Lashon said that they argue even when it's very much less than Megillas L'Tikra. They argue when it's 10 Tvachim high. They also argue when it's 5 Tvachim high. They argue even when it's a Mesipas. But that doesn't necessarily go against Rabbi Yehuda Sabar. All Rabbi Yehuda Sabar said is that everyone agrees if it reaches all the way to the ceiling, that divides the different families. If it's less than that, maybe even much, much, much less than that, so that's going to divide the families. So that's going to be a machlokas. The haidugam mefugi b'mechitza lo diach l'kochen de beisilal. The reason that the machlokas was dafka, that Rabbi Yehuda Sabar framed the machlokas about a mechitza, which implies that we're talking about, right, what did he say they argue about? A mechitza doesn't quite reach the ceiling. It doesn't sound like he holds that they're arguing about a 5 tefach high wall. It sounds like he holds they're arguing about a substantial wall. If they would argue in a case, even in a case case of Masipas, why would he dafka frame the machlokas about a Masipas, about a machitza rather, to tell me that just how strongly Beis Hillel holds their shita, that Beis Hillel is going to that Beis Hillel who in the Mishnah said that they're all considered a single unit, would even consider them a single unit. They're all considered to be together, even when you have substantial machitzos. So, frankly, Gemara v'lifligi b'masipas lo diachol koch de beshamai. So, why don't you instead have the machlokas by masipas and therefore emphasize the shita of beshamai, that beshamai will still consider them separate from each other, even though all they're divided by is a masipas. So now, koach de tera adif. If we have the opportunity to emphasize the shita that's more mekel, or we have the opportunity to emphasize how strongly the shita that's more machmir holds, we're always going to try to emphasize the shita that's more mekel. So that's koach de tera adif. Some of the rishonim are bothered. Why do you even need koach de tera adif over here? What about beshamai makom beshilul zayna mishnah? So anyway, you're not going to want to emphasize the shita of the beshamai b'makom beshilul. Okay, but koach de tera adif. That's what the Gemara suggests. Now, I guess we'll read a few more lines before we discuss. Amar Rav Nachum Namarav, Halacha Krabida Sabar. Rav Nachum Namarav says, we pass from like Krabida Sabar. Again, that there's no machlokas when the mechitza reaches the ceiling, then they're definitely considered divided from each other. The whole machlokas is only when it doesn't reach the ceiling. Amar Rav Nachum Reitzchum Masnisa Nami Deka. The Mishnah fits that way. Dekatani Umodim Bizman Shemuksasun Shriyim Bechadorim Balios Shetzrich Nerev Lekal Chabura Vechabura. Beis Hillel had said that if they live in completely separate rooms, even Beis Hillel would agree that you need an Erev for each group separately. My chadarim, my alios. Ile machadarim, chadarim mamish, v'alios, alios mamish, pshita. If you hold that they live on different floors from each other, then obviously they're going to be separate from each other. El lav ke'ein chadarim, ke'ein alios. Umayniyu, mechitza samagil satikra, shema minah. So what's the case for Beis Hillel's moda? It must be that it's not just that they live on different floors from each other, but they live so separate from each other that it's ki'ilu they live on different floors from each other. What does that mean, that they're so separated that it's ki'ilu? It means that the walls reach all the way to the ceiling. That as long as the walls reach all the way to the ceiling, that's enough of a divider that even the Beis Hillel would be moda, that they are considered to be separate from each other, and they would therefore join in the Erev separately. Whenever we mention Koach Da'atera Adiv, we always try to point out the Rashi and Maseches Beitza, right? Rashi and Maseches Beitza. And Dav Beis explains that we always try to emphasize the Koach HaMatir because it takes a lot more to be Mekel than it does to be Machmir. Anyone who doesn't know anything could always easily be Machmir. That's always the safest route to take. But if a person wants to be Mekel, that takes a certain amount of confidence and knowledge of the Halacha. You need to know something to be Mekel. That's why we say Koach Da'atera Adif. That's how Rashi and the Sefer Maseches Beitza. So the Tzlach points out, if that's the case, that would mean we'd only say Koach Da'atera Adif where, without knowing anything, I otherwise would have been Machmir. But what do I do when, without knowing anything? What about situations where if I don't know what the halacha is, if I'm a supak, I would have been Mekel anyway? Would we still say Koach Da'atera Adif? Well, what does that mean? When would I be Mekel if I'm a supak? By a Din Rabbanan. Savik Rabbanan Lekula. Says the Tzlach, on a Din Rabbanan, where even if I didn't know anything, I'd be Mekel, because I would apply Safik Rabbanan Lekula, would we still say Koach Da'atera Adif? So the Tzlach says, no. Koach Da'atera Adif only applies to Dinim Da'oraisa. Because by Dinim Da'oraisa, with no knowledge, I'm going to have to be Machmir. So I need a real analysis to be able to be Mekel on something. So we want to emphasize the Koach Da'atera. But the Koach Da'atera is not so great on a Din D'Rabbanan. Anyone could have been Mekel on a Din D'Rabbanan. So the Achronim point out that the Tzlach seems to be against our Gemara. Because what are we talking about over here? We're talking about Erev over here. And yet the Tzlach still, and the Gemara still says, Koach Da'atera Adif. So the Minchas Alaza, the Munkacher, writes in the Tshuva, Chel Galvsim Samach Dalit, that based on the Chiddush of the Mutzal Me'esh, that when we say Savik Rabban Lekula, he says that's only if being Machriya L'chumra is going to make the thing Usr without any way to fix it. But if there's a simple way to fix the Isser, and the Savik is only, should I be Matriach myself to avoid the problem or not, then even on a Dindar Rabban we go L'chumra. If it's an issue of just tircha, and there's a way out of it, says the Mutzal Me'esh, then we wouldn't apply Savit Rabban Lekula. Over here, it's a matter of joining an Erev, a matter of getting more people to contribute a few matzahs to the Erev. So that's something that's just an issue of tircha. So over here, even on a Savit Rabbanon, we would go Lechurma. And therefore, even according to the Tzlach, we would still say Koach Te'etei Radiv. That's how the Tzlach maybe, yeah, I could understand this Gemara. Okay, says Gemara further. Tana b'medvar mamur mikshamalichin eseruv al lemakom acher. That's only if they bring their eruv to somewhere else. Amalim hayer eruvon ba etzlan. Meaning there are people, residents of this building in the chatzar, and then there are other houses also in the chatzar outside of this building. So the whole discussion is if the eruv is kept in one of the other places, but if the eruv was ba etzlan, divrei kol eruv echad lekulan. Then everyone would agree that if the eruv is kept in this building, then all the residents of the building are considered a single unit. Keman also. That when they bring their Eruv to somewhere else, that they could join together as a single unit. That must be going like the Beis Hillel that holds that the people in the building are considered a single unit. The Ikadamri, others have that a different Ukimta in what our Mishnah is talking about. That the whole Machlokas in the Mishnah is when the Eruv comes to them. But if they had to bring their Eruv to somewhere else, divrei kol tzrichon Eruv l'kol chabura v'chabura, then everyone would agree each group needs to join, to participate separately in the Eruv. Ah, then keman nozal ad tanya chamisha gavos eruvim k'shemelich nes eruvim l'makom acher Eruv echel l'kulan. So then, which shita is it, like Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, that holds that when they bring their Eruv somewhere else, that it's that they're still viewed, all the residents of this building are considered like one unit? Well, according to the second version, it doesn't fit anybody, because we just said the whole machlokas is only if they keep the Eruv in the building. But when they bring the Eruv outside of the building, even both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that each family needs to participate in the Eruv independent from each other. Good. So in the end of the day, the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel were about these different groups is only when the mechitzos, the way the Gemara seemed to come to the maskana, is only when the mechitzos from a Magiel Slatikra, that Beis Hillel, when the Mechitz Magiel Slatikra, even Beis Hillel would be moda that each Chabura needs to join the Eruv separately. When they're not Magiel Slatikra, Beis Hillel would say that they're still connected to each other. So the Rishonim connect this to Halacha Lemaisa, Halacha in Hilchos Tefillah. The Halacha is in Hilchos Tefillah that in order for people to be mitzarif to a minyan, they need to be in the same room. I remember when my father-in-law was sitting Shiva, I asked Rav Shechter at the time if there's anything that people often get wrong in the Shiva house, things to keep in mind to make sure to be makbid about. He said one thing that he notices a lot of times is because a house is a house, it's not a shul, so people are not used to that, the rooms aren't built for large crowds to gather. A lot of times you'll only have like 7 people in one room and 5 people in the next room. You're not going to have a minyan in any given room, and they're not mitzarif to a minyan if they're in different rooms from each other. So the halacha is, in order to be mitzarif to a minyan, the people need to be in the same room the same room as each other. What about those shuls that have a nice big bima in the middle where there are mechitzos that are 10 tfachim high on all sides, and it's more than 4x4 tfachim? So is the chazan not mitzarif with everybody else because he's divided by mechitzos from everybody else? So that's what the Rishonim point to our sugya. The smak says we see from our sugya that you could be that unless it's mechitzos hamagil satikra, as long as the mechitzos don't reach the ceiling, you can still be mitzarif. It's only when the mechitzos magil satikra it's going to be a problem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Simin Nun Hey Sifya test, that in the places where the shatz is omid b'teva o b'bima, even though it's 10 tefachim high, it's dalar al yoser, and there are mechitzos gavos are tefachim al yoser, so still there he's able to be mostly the tzibur yidei chavasam because it's batal legabe the beis haknesses, and he says that's only if they're not magil the tikras hagag, but it's only if it doesn't reach the roof. I can't imagine a shul where the bima's walls are going to be so high that they reach all the way to the roof. If it reaches all the way to the roof, then that maybe would that would probably divide them.
Oh, if you have people from the Ezra's Nashon.
So the Yezuz Nashim is very nogeh lemaisa, right? The Yezuz Nashim, you have a couple of issues with davening in the Yezuz Nashim. First of all, people talk the whole time when they daven in the Yezuz Nashim. Okay. Second of all, it's for women. But even once we get past all of that, the it could be that it's not the same level of kedusha, that it doesn't have the full kedusha space HaKnesses for the Yezuz Nashim. So that's another issue. You may be sacrificing in terms of the kedusha of the makom for the tefillah. But in terms of being mitzarif, it's again it's not magiyas l'tikra, and there is a minion in the room, so that you know in the hopefully
balcony?
In that section. What?
Balcony, is that in the same room?
Yeah, so pashas that's considered the same room. It's also not magiyas l'tikra. It's opened up in the again most of the time that's the way it is. All right, let's read the Mishnah. Ha'achin shayu ochlan al shulchan aviyim. Let's say you have brothers that are eat on their father's table. The father supports them. V'yishenu b'bateim, but they sleep in their own homes. So there are five houses, let's say, in the chatzer, and it's all family, but they all eat in the parents' home. Tzrichin erev l'kol echad ve'echad. So they each need to join the erev independently because they sleep separately. L'fichach hamshachach echad ve'em v'lo erev mevatel reshuso. So if one of them forgot to join the erev, he needs to do a bit of reshus. It's a yasus. Everybody. That's only if they bring their Erev to someone else. But if the Erev goes to one of the family members, or all there is in the Chatzer is family members, there's no one else other than family members, then they don't need to make an Erev. So this one line of Gemara says, Shema mina makom lino goreim. Should we derive from our Mishnah that it all depends on where you sleep? Because we see as long as they sleep separately, they should make separate Eruvin. Now you can't be medayik from our Mishnah that it's dafka b'makom lina, because we could be talking about the where they each receive food from their father's house and actually eat in their own homes. So they may eat separately also. They're just being supported by their father. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up in the Gemara from there.